Hello and welcome to the American Culture Podcast. In this program, we look at the economic crisis of the Great Depression and its effect on the American people. First, we'll have a summary of the reading for this week, chapter 23 in your textbook, Crash and Depression. Then we'll hear about American movies in the 1920s and the rise of Hollywood. This information will help you answer a special bonus question. Finally, I'll give you some hints for this week's test. Wall Street is the home of the New York Stock Exchange, a place where stockbrokers buy and sell shares in companies and their goods. Shares in a company entitle buyers to a share of the profits made by the company. But these buyers, or investors, have another way of making money. They can try to find a company that is likely to do well, buy shares in the company at a cheap price, and sell them at a higher price. It's called playing the market, and the word play reminds us that this is really a kind of game, in particular, a kind of gambling. In the 1920s, playing the market had become a common activity for many Americans. By 1928, for example, more than 1 billion shares were traded. 5 years earlier, the number was only 236 million. People often used credit to buy shares. They borrowed large amounts of money from banks in order to buy the shares. Hopefully, the shares purchased with the loan would rise in value, and the bank would get its money back, and the buyer would make a profit. By 1929, the profits of American companies were falling, and people began to sell their shares in large numbers. As more and more people sold their shares, panic struck. Prices began to fall faster. By the end of the year, 1929, prices of shares had fallen by $40 billion. People who had borrowed money to buy shares found themselves in deep debt. The collapse of share prices was called the Wall Street Crash, and it put an end to the prosperity of the 1920s. One of the main reasons for the decline in company profits and the consequent fall in share prices was that the average American person was not making enough money to buy the goods he and his family needed. Many people decided to save money. They didn't buy new goods. This weakened the economy even more. In the countries of Europe also, there was not enough money to support America's exports. By 1931, almost 8 million Americans were without a job. They received no support from the government. Many lost their homes. They stood in bread lines for hours, waiting for some food. Homeless men and women walked the streets. They slept where they could find shelter. They felt lost. By 1932, many banks had closed, and about 100,000 businesses had failed. 1 in 4 workers had no job. In total, 12 million Americans. Not only cities, but also the country experienced the depression. Farmers could not sell their crops, and banks tried to take over their farms. In 1932, thousands of unemployed ex-soldiers arrived in Washington. They became known as the Bonus Army. The men of the Bonus Army demanded money owed to them from service in World War I. They made camps in the city, and they protested against the government. President Hoover called in the army to move them out, and the soldiers burned their camps. Things were getting worse in America. Hoover thought the best way to solve the economic crisis was for the government to spend its money carefully. He wished to help businessmen in order to get them to rehire workers. Hoover assured Americans that better times were coming. But they didn't come, not under his leadership. Then, in 1932, a new leader appeared, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Roosevelt declared that the government would take action to help Americans directly. He promised a New Deal. Americans responded to his energy and confidence. Roosevelt convinced them that he was the best to lead the country out of financial ruin, and in the election of 1932, he won the largest majority in U.S. history. In 42 of 48 states, he was elected. Next, a special segment on the American movie industry. During the 1920s, American movies conquered the world. The movie industry was based in a suburb of Los Angeles called Hollywood. Hollywood would become a place famous all around the world, a place where dreams were made. The movie companies or studios that created those dreams were motivated solely by profit, and one way to maximize profit was to standardize or industrialize the movie-making process. When a movie became popular, the movie makers followed the same pattern or formula as long as they could. Another important business strategy was the use of publicity to make stars of studio actors. The companies encouraged fan clubs and fan magazines, and the result of this publicity was that a star could draw people to the theater even if the movie was bad. Movies of the 20s were silent. There was no sound. Therefore, the movies easily crossed borders and became international hits. All over the world, movie-going became a popular leisure activity. American culture, as portrayed in the movies, was exciting. A world of freedom and equality, a magical dream world to which they could escape. During the worst years of the Depression in the 1930s, the movies were an important escape for many people. Finally, here are some hints for the test. Next week's test will be a closed book test. You cannot use your textbook or notes, but you may use your dictionary. You should know about one of the main causes of the fall of profits among American companies, leading to the stock market crash of 1929. You should understand the situation of people living in the city and the country in America. You should know the differences in the approaches and popularity of Presidents Hoover and Roosevelt. And you should know the situation of foreign markets and their effect on American trade during the Depression. There will also be a writing question about the experience of people in the Depression. The short reading on page 98 called You Walk will help you. If you make a draft of your answer for this question, please send it to me by email before the test, and I will correct it and give you some suggestions. My email address is cjarms@let.chukyo-u.ac.jp. Well, that's all for today's program. Thanks for listening, and good luck on the test.